In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Gospel today, Jesus goes into Jerusalem and he casts out the money changers. Apparently this the first time or the second time. Scholars think he did it twice, going into Jerusalem, two different years. But this time he says, perhaps the second time, this is, "My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Goes into the temple and they're selling money. They're concerned about money and selling all these animals and just taking out of their mind and the minds of the people going there that this is a house of prayer. It should be conducive to prayer. You know, imagine going into a church and there's all kinds of distractions and noise and activity and setting up things and selling things, even worse. And this is supposed to be a house of prayer. It's supposed to be a quiet place, a place where you can go and kneel down and pray and not be disturbed. And, you know, that's what it's supposed to be. Really, we have a house of prayer and our house of worship and churches we go to, but our own body is supposed to be a house of prayer. The world is really supposed to be a house of prayer, a place to commune with God, to serve God, and to think of God, and to ask Him for so many things. And prayer is absolutely essential. It's like breathing, it's like eating. It's absolutely essential for our spiritual life, for our life of holiness and goodness. And the very purpose of our being is to be in communion with God. It's one of the things that Vatican II stresses in Gaudium et Spes, that our dignity is rooted in our communion with God. And if we don't talk to God, we don't pray to God, where is our dignity? It starts to corrode and corrupt, and we become undignified, become less human, become more animalistic, and less what we were created for. So we are created for communion with God, to pray. We're made to pray. We are made for that, and we need things to conduce us to pray, especially churches. And churches should be places of prayer. We're fortunate here in this Our Lady of Guadalupe Chapel in Griswold, Connecticut, where it's a perpetual adoration, and it's conducive to prayer. The church was made for that. It was made to be conducive for prayer. You know, one of my parishes that I grew up in, the first church I attended, which was in my hometown, was that way. It was conducive to prayer. They had places to pray. You could light candles. You could kneel down before the statues of Mary and Joseph, and you could go and it was a quiet place, and it was that way. And then a new church was built, and it was much bigger and much wider, and it was made in like a stadium-type place, and there weren't any statues anymore. But it was kind of a beautiful church, and it was nice looking, and I didn't even think about the way it was made and the purpose for it. And I found out later that it was made not to have any devotional space. That's one of the architectural heresies of today. Many of the churches are made that way, not to be a place to pray and to have devotion. In your church, you're just supposed to go there and get married there and baptized, and that's it. It wasn't really made for staying after church and praying and lighting candles and having adoration and just being there to pray to God and being lost in God and in prayer. It wasn't made that way. What a sad thing it is. And yet, our Lord says, "My house is called the house of prayer." So we are made to pray, and prayer is our strength. Prayer is our reason for one of the purposes for living is to be in communion with God. So, you know, we find our strength in prayer, and we are to be men and women of prayer. You imagine that, being men and women of prayer, and imagine telling that to other people in this day and age, just saying you're a fanatic, you're going too far, you're too religious, and all of this, and yet we are made for that. Jesus says we should pray unceasingly. This is where our dignity is. This is where our strength is. And, you know, you're looking throughout the world, who are those who make it through difficult times? Who are those who make it through crises, through the sad times, through depressions, and through this? Those who are prayerful. Those who are prayerful are, you know, we're in a certain sense omnipotent in prayer. We can have anything we want in prayer. All we have to do is ask for it. As long as it's good for us, and we can have many, many good things. All we have to do is ask for them, and we cannot have many good things by not asking. Or we can have some good things by sometimes asking, or we can have many graces, many good things by asking all the time. You know, it doesn't hurt to ask, does it? And yet, when we ask a good Father, we know He was going to give it to us. So we can ask, but prayer is not just about asking and about getting things and me and getting things, but prayer is giving too. It's giving to God, giving our time, our love to God, our attention to God, our relationship to God. You know, we have to think about God too. We think about His needs, so to speak. God doesn't need anything, but He acts as if He does, and He wants our attention, He wants our love, He wants our time. He wants our effort to be with Him and to be with Him. That's all He asks from us, is our love in the form of time spent in prayer. And yet it's in our best interest, because it is from prayer that we gain strength to get through the day, to do good, to stay away from evil, and to have the strength to practice charity. We live on prayer, and we need to be men and women of prayer, and we will find all our answers in prayer, all the graces and strength we need in prayer for ourselves, but we're also trying to lift up the world, lift up our neighbor, lift up our family, lift up our neighbor. And we see so many problems in the world, and we have to, and we're called to, and it's only a matter of charity to help other people. And we can help other people more through prayer than in activity. And so prayer should come first. Prayer should come first before activity. First thing we do in the morning is we pray some way, somehow, whether go to Mass or pray a rosary or say our morning prayers and start the day that way, but it doesn't end there. We should pray in the midday, in the evening, in the night. We should pray throughout the day, because we should be living in prayer. That's what we were made for. And the more we pray, the stronger we get, the better we are, and the more good we do in the world. So let us set that as our most important thing, is to live a life of prayer and to do so much good that way.